I don't have to introduce Brother Tom and Daniel. These men have been here about as long as I have. Amen. It's good to have you, Brother Tom. We love you.
I love you too. If you have to turn with us to John's Gospel, chapter number one. John's Gospel, chapter number one. It's a blessing to be back at the Jubilee. I don't know how many this is for me. 14 or 15, somewhere in that neighborhood. But we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. And do not count this opportunity lightly. We count it a great joy to be able to be in this place and share the pulpit with these great men of God. It is in my heart in these days, if the Lord would allow me, I'd like to say something about the Holy Ghost in these days. He is a forgotten part of the Trinity. I was driven to this little study not long ago from the old song of yesterday. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. That is the reason why we have met. And then the songwriter said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. This would be a useless meeting if the Holy Ghost does not come down. But if he was to come down, I have been here when he has come down in various and sundry days. And no matter what the service is, unless and he falls upon the service, there'll not be very much eternally transacted. Of course, my first thought was, what is the Spirit of the Holy One like? He is such a complex being of the Trinity. He is not easily understood nor explained. The Bible sees him in so many various ways. But I would like to look at some of those likenesses tonight. I would like to begin tonight looking that he is like a dove. He is like a dove. Of course, if he comes, he'll not produce himself. He's not pushing himself. But I want us to see tonight, as he comes as a dove, he will manifest the controlling work of Christ. The controlling work of Christ. Can you imagine something as gentle, harmless as a dove, in control of all things and running the show? He is like a dove. If I could, I'd like to read several passages in our hearing tonight. One in John chapter number 1. Another one in Genesis chapter number 8. And another one in Genesis chapter number 1. I would read the text in John's Gospel chapter 1. The baptism of Jesus. And the Bible says, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And it abode upon him. I would remind you that the Holy Ghost is not an it tonight. He is a person. He is not an expression of God, but he is all God. As much as the Son is God, and much as God is God. Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 8. Noah's ark. Bible says, and also he, talking about Noah, sent forth a dove. from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Stayed yet another 7 days, and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. The dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. He stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Again, Genesis chapter number 1. Seen John's dove on Jesus. Saw Noah's dove in the ark. Notice in Genesis chapter number 1, we see God's dove on the earth. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, I'm interested in this little word here, moved upon the face of the waters. What is the Spirit of the Holy One like? He's like a dove. If he was to come on person or a place or a situation, congregation, what would he do? He would manifest the controlling work of Christ. Notice in our text, if you have it, beginning in Genesis chapter number 1, him being like the dove, we see in Genesis chapter number 1 the brooding work of the dove. The brooding work of the dove. The Bible said that God made a globe, an earth. He said it was without form, dark, void. He said there was not really anything of any beauty in it. He said, until the Spirit of God moved. That's an interesting word. Little word moved there, it means to brood over or to incubate or to birth. There is much references in the Bible when speaking of a dove. It speaks of his wings. The psalmist David made this statement. He said, David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then would I fly to my rest. Hey, you ain't got no dove, you don't have no rest, David said. David said, ye shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, speaks of redemption. And her feathers, yeller as gold, speaks of glorification. There will be no redeeming glorification of rest if there is no dove. But here in our text, we see God has an earth. It's without form, it's void, it's dark. The Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved, brooded. The little word means to place under the wings or under the feathers. The Holy Ghost came down upon this gigantic earth and engulfed it under his wings and brooded over it. Preacher, how long did he brood over it? Notice this brooding of incubation in verse number 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I was a-wondering tonight, you got any historical reference point to any dove ever brooding over you, placing you up underneath His wings, hovering over you until you broke through and saw the light. Huh? Oh, I remember it like it's yesterday, and it's been 30-some years ago. Matter of fact, I'm so messed up, I believe the Holy Ghost started brooding over me in my mother's womb. Oh, it took a long time. I was a whole hard shell. But oh, finally He cracked the shell and I broke out into the light. You got any reference point of anything like that ever happening to you? Preacher, I don't remember anything like that ever happened to me. Will you make yourself a little note for later meditation? I'm going to hell when this is over with. If there has never been any brooding, incubating work of the Holy Ghost, you do not know God. I'm glad for the day that He brooded over me. Couldn't get in if He hadn't brooded over me. Huh? Talking about the brooding work of incubation. But there is not only the brooding work of incubation, but there is the brooding work of instruction. This little word, move. Our Lord, through the writings of Moses, picks this word up again later with the idea of wings. He said, as a mother eagle fluttereth, there's that little word mood, fluttereth over her nest, so the Lord did lead Moses. That little word fluttereth, it is the idea of brood. But this time he's not brooding in incubation. He's brooding and messing up the nest. Old mother eagle takes them big old wings and just tears that nest all up. Gets them out of their comfort zone. Hey, you got any historical recollection of the dove messing up your little plans? Huh? Oh, that mother eagle will back them little eaglets up to the rock and she'll put them on her wings and she'll begin to soar to thousands of feet. And once she realizes that they have relaxed their grip on her, she'll bring them wings in and she'll drop them and let them begin to fall. You say, that's so mean. Oh, hon, God's been doing it to you for years, if you know Him. What's He trying to do? He's trying to teach you how to fly. Yes, you have any historical record tonight in your life of the brooding work of the dove of the Holy Ghost? Hey, what's the Holy Ghost like? Oh, He's like a dove. There is contact with the dove. There will be the brooding work of the dove. Would you go further tonight? Look in our text in Genesis chapter number 8 that we read. Not only do I see tonight in this work of the dove, is there a brooding work. But I notice in Genesis chapter 8, there is a blessed work of the dove. Blessed work of the dove. I notice in chapter number 8, verses 8 and 9, there is a blessed releasing. Blessed releasing. Noah sent forth this dove, and he quickly returned. The text does not tell us this, but old Josephus sticks this little thought in. He said he probably returned with his wings somewhat muddy and his feet muddy. He did not like it out there. I would remind you tonight, the Holy Ghost will not come on anything that's dirty. He will not come on anything that has a tinge of dirtiness about it. Noah released the dove again. Bible tells us, we're talking about a blessed releasing. What is he up to? If the dove is doing a blessed work in your life, he is doing a perfecting work. He will clean you up. Used to, he dealt with me about big things. And I feel like I got most of them straight And I thought for sure he'd leave me alone. Now he's gone to nitpicking. He will not let me get by with nothing. Amen. Matter of fact, the other day he told me he wanted me to be perfect. Is that not what Jesus said? Be ye perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. That word doesn't mean mature. Perfect. Perfecting word. He returns a second time. The Bible says in verse 11, the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. That olive leaf speaks of peace. How is there to be peace tonight? It says this olive leaf was plucked off. That little word plucked is an interesting word. It means to radically tear. It is that word. Oh, was not the peacemaker plucked from life into death that I might experience a blessed releasing tonight? Oh, here he returns with an olive leaf in his mouth, plucked. The Bible says that Noah waits 7 days. The number of perfecting. God is doing a perfecting work. He is doing a work of peace. How come? He is desirous to release his people. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. Do you know the difference in a bird and a plane? It's awful deep. Maybe over your head. Don't even know if you can handle it or not. Planes soar. Birds flap their wings. You have not gone out to an airport lately and saw a plane. I've seen some I thought was doing it. But they're not. That's what Baptists are doing. I'm gonna do better. This meeting's helped me. He ain't interested in you flapping.
Amen.
If you'll ever catch an updraft of the Holy Ghost, you'll do less and accomplish more than you ever did in your life. Matter of fact, you'll get plumb to the place of doing nothing and him doing it all. And you'll just have a time. I'm talking about the blessed releasing. I wonder how many of you here tonight, just be honest, you flapping. You doing your best. I tell you, preacher, I'm just trying to stay up. Honey, would you please stop flapping? If you'll ever just stop flapping and just start falling, if you're one of his youngins, he'll catch you on an updraft and business will pick up. And if he doesn't catch you with an updraft, the earth is coming into view to you quickly. And you may find out what you really got, and it's zero. I'm talking about a blessed releasing. But not only do we see a blessed releasing, notice the other text that we read, if you've got it there. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. There is not only a blessed releasing, but there is a blessed descending. John's Gospel, chapter number 1, it is that great text where the dove came. And the Bible says, I didn't know if you noticed it when we read it or not. John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode. Extremely interested in that little word. Noah let it go. Bible said it found no place for its feet. Let it go then. Last time, it never returned. I see in the Old Testament that it flew around quite frequently. Often it would light upon men, and they would do great things. Oftentimes, it would pull away from men. Things would be of evil put in its place. All through the Old Testament, just flew from place to place. But old John put one under the water one day when he lifted him up. The Bible says there, the Spirit of God, like a dove, came and what? Bode upon him. That little word abode is an interesting word. It means to stay, to remain, to continue. Oh, he came upon this one and lit upon him. He was on him. He was in him. He was all around him. He was all Holy Ghost. It was all God. I'm talking about a blessed releasing now. A blessed descending. When Jesus died on the cross, he released his ghost. I didn't know if you know it or not, but that's what a ghost is. It's the departed spirit of a dead man. Jesus is dying. He's letting his ghost go. Spirit left him. Where in the world did it go? Acts tells us after the ascension, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you have seen and hear of him. He let the Holy Ghost go. Where did it go? It come and got inside of me. And now I don't have to flap no more. Isn't that wonderful? Could I ask a very pointed question? You got any dove on you tonight? You got any dove on? You notice I didn't ask you if you saved. I didn't ask you been down the Roman road, German road, the French road. I didn't ask you if you'd prayed the sinner's prayer, made a profession, been dunked in a baptismal pool. Have you got any dove on you? That's a very important question. Here, the blessed work of the dove, the brooding work of the dove. Can I mention this little thought? The becoming work of the dove. Preacher, how can I know for sure if I got any dove? Oh, you can know. Oh, you can know. And I know some of you say, oh, yes, I prayed the sinner's prayer. They took me over to 1 John 5:13, and they told me I was saved. I know I got the dove. Hell will be full of people went down that road. Huh? I'm so not so sure we don't need to can the Romans road anyhow and get people to go down to Damascus road. Get kicked off the high horse of their pride. Get blinded with Holy Ghost conviction. Get taken over to the street called straight and have the lights turned on at their house. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the brooding work, the blessed work, but there is a becoming work. What is that becoming work? Preacher, how would I know if I got any dove on me or not? There will be a fix. You listen to me? A fixed perception. Do you remember I shared it with you last year? Hate to repeat myself, but we need a refresher course. Fixed perception. You remember Solomon, Song of Solomon, told the young Shunammite girl, he said, you got dove's eyes. Remember? Dove's eyes. What does that mean? Dove's eyes. You study a dove's eyes. They've got singular vision. They can only look at one thing at a time. He told her, she says, I notice you've just got eyes for me. Preacher, I don't know if I've got the dove on me or not. Here, check out. Do you have eyes tonight only for God? Your perception is fixed upon Him and Him alone. I didn't know if you realize it or not. There's not many people in the one thing club. The what? The one thing club. Ain't many people join. Martha joined. Mary's sister joined. Martha didn't join. Mary joined. He says, this one thing is needful. She's sitting at his feet. What is she doing? Fixed perception right on him. Paul joined. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press. I got my fixed perception. You got any dove on you? If you got any dove on you, if the Holy Ghost is on you tonight, you have a fixed perception. You have eyes only for Him. Look around, it'll cause you to worry. Look up, it'll cause you to worship. Fixed perception. I'm talking about a becoming work of the dove. Not only does it involve a fixed perception, but it involves a fulfilled position. You listening to me? I love this little thought tonight. It strikes conviction in my heart every time I read it. Jesus made this statement to his disciples. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and as harmless as what? Doves." That little word harmless is a very interesting word. The little word is simple, unmixed. Jesus said, go out there in the world, but don't mix. Are you listening to me tonight? If you got a lot of world in you tonight, you ain't got no dove in you. I'm telling you tonight, the dove will change your viewpoint tonight. It will cause you to live life simple, not complex. Not complex. Oh, tonight, I want to live life very simple. Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind before I die, give everything I got away. Let the last check that I write out of my checkbook be to the undertaker and it bounce on him. Keep it simple, not complex, not deep. He said to be as harmless as a dove. Oh, when I think about heaven's dove tonight, He is all that we need tonight. He is everything from A to Z. Matter of fact, tonight He is my advocate tonight. He is the one that pleads my case and directs the pleading of my case. He is my baptism tonight. He is the one that took me and placed me into Christ tonight. He is my comforter. He cheers me on tonight. He is my director. He is my sovereign God. He never leads me down dead end streets and causes me to say, oops, I wish God I never went down that street. He is my earnest. He is the assurance that I'm in Him and He is in me. He is my fullness tonight. He fills me with all that is unspeakable joy. He is the ghost tonight. He is the release spirit of Jesus Christ that come. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling inside of me tonight. He is my helper. He enables me in all things that I need to do. He is my indweller. He occupies me until He comes. He is my joy. He is my gladness tonight. He is my King. He rules over me tonight. He is my liberty. He has set me free. He causes me tonight to soar and not to flap tonight. He is my mark on me. He is my expression of God's expression on me of His ownership. He is my oil. He gladdens me and gives me strength. He is my power. He gives me strength to do and to be tonight. He is my reviver tonight. He invigorates me when I am down tonight. He is that small touch upon my cheek when my head is down that lifts my head back up to the Lord. He is the quickener. He brought me from death unto life. He is my teacher. He instructs me in all things. He is the uniter. He doesn't divide me. He unites me. He is my victor tonight. He gives me the victory. He is my witness. He establishes within me that I belong to God and God belongs to me. He is my x-ray. He shows me what I really am on the inside. He is my yoke. He leads me into the easy rest. He is my zenith. He leads me to the highest point. That is to worship Christ. Telling you tonight. What's he like? Oh, he's like a dove tonight. You know, Jonah, his name meant dove-like. I guess all of us would have to admit there's a lot of Jonah in all of us. I didn't know if you ever noticed or not, but Jonah never lived up to his name. He was never dove-like. His daddy was Amathea. His name meant truth. I tell you, there wasn't much truth in Jonah. He was always trying to avoid truth. But I love what Jesus said. He said, there's a greater than Jonah that's come on the scene. Well, I tell you, he was all dove-like and he was full of truth. And he has come and got inside of me. Well, what is he going to do inside of you? He's going to make me dove-like. He's going to cause me to walk in the truth. Come, holy dove. Forever abide on me. Forever abide through me. Forever abide on me. But shh. Careful. Be careful around the dove. He's easily grieved. He's touchy. He'll withdraw and fly away so quickly. Wouldn't it be wonderful if sometime this week he was to settle in on this place? I do want to be here if he does, don't you? I don't want to be missing it. Could I ask you three very pointed questions before I turn it back over to Pastor tonight? Question number one, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Paul said in Romans, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. None of His. Question number two, do you desire to have more of the Holy Ghost? You know, I was always taught, of course, you know, I have found many times over, a study of the Bible will mess up a lot of things you was taught. I was taught you get all the Holy Ghost you're going to get when you get saved. No problem with that. I believe that. One itsy bitsy little problem. He ain't get all of you. I'm asking you tonight, do you desire to have more of the Holy Ghost? Preacher, if what they taught me is right, they told me when I got saved, I got all the Holy Ghost I'm going to get. Well, could you answer a question for me? How come Jesus said that my Father will give the Spirit much more to them that ask Him? If there's much more of Him to have if you just ask, there must be more of Him than you got when you got saved. Or Jesus would have not made that statement. I don't know about you. I am extremely interested in the much more. Jesus said it Himself. He said, how much more shall the Father give the Spirit to them that ask for Him? I'm asking you tonight, do you have the Spirit? Do you desire to have more of the Spirit? Third question, I'm done. Do you desire for the Spirit to have more of you? More of you. Oh, tonight, what's the Spirit of the Holy One like? Oh, he's like a dove. What's the big deal about a dove? Well, all will be vain this week unless the Holy One, the one who is like a dove, would come down. Pastor, that's the message that was on my heart. You come.
Thank you, Brother Tom. That's a wonderful message, wasn't it? Realize that the important thing is tonight is have we received the dove. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. I was thinking what Dr. Oswald Chambers said this morning. I was reading his little devotional. He says a lot of people have been converted, but they've never been regenerated. Had their eyes open, but they don't have never received anything. Amen? And the thing about it is, the key is to receiving Him. And to receive Him is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's the administrator of the Godhead. He carries out the entire work of God and the Son while He's away. Never talks about Himself. He just points you to Jesus. Amen.